How are girls doing today? Not very well, according to a slew of reports about increased adolescent depression, anxiety, and self-harm that have parents and teachers across the country on high alert. Science writer Donna Jackson Nakazawa tries to get to the bottom of this problem in her new book, Girls on the Brink, Helping Our Daughters Thrive in an Era of Increased Anxiety, Depression, and Social Media. According to Donna, the root cause is a dangerous collision of biology and technology, but she offers some hopeful solutions as well. Donna's written 4 books on science and culture, and her work has appeared in Wired, the Boston Globe, the Washington Post, and other publications. Here she is to share 5 of her big ideas.
Hi, I'm Donna Jackson Nakazawa, author of Girls on the Brink, which delves into the latest neuroscience on why girls today are struggling in unprecedented numbers from depression and anxiety, what today's high-pressure and social media-driven era has to do with it, and how we can use insights from emerging research on female development to help girls thrive. Now, I've written a few books which dive into the impact of adversity and stress on the human brain and immune system, and the implications for mental health from cradle to grave. In this book, I've turned my focus to girls' mental health. I'm sure you're well aware that girls are growing up with a rising number of external pressures, making their transition into adolescence far more psychologically challenging than it used to be. A large body of research shows sharp spikes in depression and anxiety among girls in recent years at rates notably higher than boys. In Girls on the Brink, I investigate why this is the case, including new brain science on girls and puberty, how our fast-paced online lifestyle doesn't mesh well with girls' psychological needs, and what we can do about that. If there's a girl in your life you care about, I think you'll find what today's leading neuroscientists and public health experts and the girls I talk to have to say about growing up female in today's world. Their insights are as inspiring as they are helpful. But what really matters here is that we now have powerful neuroprotective strategies to help girls thrive, even in these turbulent times. So, from my new book, Girls on the Brink, here are my 5 big ideas. Insight number 1. It's only very recently that neuroscientists started to look at the neurodevelopmental significance of chronic stress and adversity on girls' mental health. That's right. Until just a few years ago, research on how stress affects female mental health was skewed by the fact that these studies originated in male research models. This means that most of what we thought we knew about girls' mental health as they enter puberty and go through adolescence has been based on the male brain. In fact, it was only in 2016 that the National Institutes of Health asked that sex differences be factored into preclinical and lab research, and that neuroscientists began to compare male and female brains in studies looking at mental health and well-being. Prior to that, regardless of what aspect of mental health was being delved into, the study of female biology was rarely included. It was just assumed that male models and studies would give results that applied to everyone. In writing Girls on the Brink, I talked to a 6 female neuroscientists who are leading this research and who are at the top of their fields. They told me that the main reason researchers ignored females was that they didn't want those quote-unquote pesky hormones to get in the way of their findings. And yes, it turns out that female biology affects how stress is processed by the brain in surprising and powerful ways. And this turns out to be particularly true in puberty and adolescence, when girls' brains are developing fast and big changes are happening, for good or for ill. Now, the second insight is we've lost what I call the in-between years. Between the ages of 7 and 13, children traditionally grew up with more time and space to develop emotionally, socially, and physically without so much pressure. These years serve as the bridge between childhood and adolescence, and a lot is happening in the brain during this time. But in today's culture, these years are marked by performance and competition with earlier timelines and higher benchmarks across academics and extracurriculars. As a consequence, our children are missing that important part of childhood, those years when they should be doing things like hanging out with friends and lying in the grass to chat about whatever happens to be on their minds. We've not only replaced that with a fast-moving culture, we've added in social media, which kids aren't supposed to be on until age 13, but which studies show most girls are using much, much earlier. Once girls are on social media, the focus on their appearance hits girls especially hard. Their bodies are evaluated based on impossible standards of female perfection, and girls are much more likely than boys to receive critical, derisive, sexist messages about their body, face, and appearance. Now, this has a particularly strong effect on girls as they scroll, stare, compare, and despair and feel they do not measure up. As one of the girls I interviewed in Girls on the Brink told me, if you want to be popular at school, you have to first be popular on Insta, which means you have to be willing to be sexualized as if you're an adult woman, even if you're just a kid. Now, add to all this background threats of global warming and school shootings, and layer it on top of the stark reality that girls routinely face added threats like sexual harassment, rape, and violence against women just by virtue of growing up female. And here's the kicker. This early exposure to external judgment, hierarchical evaluation, and critiquing is happening during the most vulnerable window in brain development. Insight number three is this. Early stress has consequences for girls as puberty begins and estrogen comes on board. And this affects girls in unique ways, especially given that puberty is happening earlier. Now, puberty is a super vulnerable time for girls' brain development. Of course, this is true for boys too, but it is especially true for girls. This is because when estrogen comes on board during puberty, it is particularly powerful at increasing a potent stress response to unmitigated chronic stressors in the environment. Estrogen, evolutionarily speaking, is a very groovy hormone and a master regulator in the brain. On the plus side, in normal circumstances, it gives women this added immune response that helps keep them healthy and strong. This is why women have a more robust response to vaccines. Estrogen also enhances all the body's systems and organs, including the brain. But when females face big ongoing stressors in the environment, estrogen can flip from an evolutionary advantage to a disadvantage. It can amp up the body's stress immune response in a way that testosterone does not. This is why women suffer from autoimmune diseases at several times the rate of men. And it's also, by the way, the reason why women suffer more from long COVID. Now, at puberty, the brain is factoring in all the social and emotional stressors you've ever faced in your lifetime, and the brain rewires based on that intel. And this is why it's at puberty that we begin to see these differences emerge in girls' health. When girls experience overwhelming social and emotional stressors at the same time that estrogen is coming on board, this can exacerbate the ill effects of stress on health and development. On top of all that, Girls today are going through puberty at earlier ages, at a time when the brain is not ready to be remodeled. This really matters in terms of girls' mental health, because the parts of the brain that help discern how to best respond to social and emotional threats, put them in proper context, and how and when to ask adults for help have not wired or fired up yet. And this means they are having feelings and experiencing adult-like layers of stress before their brains have developed the necessary scaffolding for resilience. Insight number 4, social and emotional threats exact an especially high cost in terms of our body and brain's responses. Now, the brain is really a detective. Across childhood and into adolescence, a child's brain is dancing with cues and messages from the environment to try to answer one basic question: am I safe or am I not safe? To really understand this, we have to take a step back in time, way back. Early in human history, survival depended greatly on close collaboration and cooperation within the tribe. Being left out, made fun of, dismissed, or excluded by others meant you would be the last person to get meat from the communal fire or be given other nutritious food. Once at the outskirts of the tribe, you'd be more easily attacked. You might not hear the call of alarm if a predator or warring tribe were near. Being slighted or gossiped about might also be a warning sign that you'd soon be entirely ostracized, which would make you more vulnerable to physical harm. No food, shelter, or help if you needed it because you're suddenly outside the tribe's protection. Now, if you were exposed to the elements or predators, you were also more likely to be wounded and to develop infection. Given the ill effects that could follow even a small social slight, it made sense that over thousands of years, our immune system evolved so that in the face of social threats, it preps us for the possibility of coming physical danger. This is why social stressors can evoke an immune response that's very, very similar to that of experiencing physical harm. George Slavich, a professor at UCLA, has coined a really useful term for this: social safety theory. And what social safety theory means is this: there is an evolutionary mismatch between the unique pressures and stressors girls face in modern life and our deep and long-standing evolutionary wiring in the brain. Being dissed at an early age on social media might not be physically dangerous, but to the brain, and especially the adolescent brain, it feels as if it is. Insight number 5. As levels of chronic psychological stress rise in girls' lives, we must bring down every girl's body and brain stress machinery while also making sure we're creating deep connection both at home and in the wider community. What researchers told me is this: the female body and brain are more susceptible to being adversely affected by chronic stress only when its source remains unmitigated in the environment. And even a well-loved girl's sense of who she is can diminish over time amid an avalanche of modern stressors and sexist messaging. Now, remember, in healthy, supportive environments, puberty and adolescence are a time of great potential and promise. When girls feel safe, their stress machinery is less likely to get engaged or set on overwhelm, and they have a better chance of getting through puberty in their teenage years without depression or anxiety. Girls' brains at puberty are incredibly agile. They're taking in and processing a lot of social cues at once. If these messages encourage healthy connection and are empowering, and we eliminate a lot of the toxic stressors girls now face, the adolescent female brain is an absolute superpower. Now, as parents, we don't always have insight into our daughter's states of mind, and studies bear this out. And as our daughters face more stress before their brains are equipped to make sense of so much overload, they often don't know how to ask for our help. There is, it turns out, an art and a craft to communicating with girls in neuroprotective ways and to setting up the support scaffolding they need from their larger community. In Girls on the Brink, I explore 15 neuroscience-based ways we can do just that. And we don't have time for all of them, but I want to leave you with just one tip before we go. When your daughter comes to you with hard things, make it a good experience for her. Researchers at Johns Hopkins have found that girls were 12 times more likely to flourish when their families were able to answer yes to just one question. Can your daughter come to talk to you about anything, no matter how difficult? Now, remember too, that teens only voice themselves when they feel heard. So listen more, talk less, give less advice. Try not to jump in as the fixer or the detective. If your daughter comes to you with a difficult problem and asks you what you think, you might try saying something like, "I promise I'll tell you what I think, but first, I really want to know what you think, because what you think right now is more important than what I think." This gives her time to process her thoughts and spill what's really bothering her, helping her to feel seen and safe and valued and heard, that she really matters, while also helping to foster deep connection and healthy and crucial neural wiring in her brain. Now, you'll find many, many, many other neuroprotective antidotes, ideas, and how-tos, even scripts on how to help grow girls in healthy ways in my new book, Girls on the Brink. So thanks for listening, and I hope you'll enjoy reading it.
Thank you, Donna. That was Donna Jackson Nakazawa with 5 big ideas from Girls on the Brink, helping our daughters thrive in an era of increased anxiety, depression, and social media. You might also want to check out our book bite for Behind Their Screens, What Teens Are Facing and Adults Are Missing by Emily Weinstein and Carrie James. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.